Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, who said it? Coming up right now. Last week we had a record-breaking week. We hit four of the questions of who said it last week. Would have been five. We all relive the circumstances that got it there. Brandon, what's our challenge today? What do the Killer Bees have to do to beat you, the brain behind who said it?
Last week was a fluke. Let's be honest about what it was. You guys are not going to hit four very often, if ever again. So I don't want to be unfair, but we also got to be a little bit more challenging because last week it was pretty low. We're going to set it at three.
Three.
Okay. Got to get three right. Man.
We do. It has gotten a little easier on us now that we have one less person to choose from.
Well, I certainly hope that as part of that, you took into that into consideration how many you're expecting us to get with the quotes that you pulled.
Yeah.
I only pick good quotes, period.
Sometimes you get a little too deep into it. Yeah.
The conditions can get tough. Sometimes you have us playing in like snow.
As the puppeteer, you control everything, but you control this game show way too much.
Yeah. I mean, do you trust us like Lovie Smith trust Kyemi Fairbairn for a 52-yard field goal inside? Do you trust us that much? Let's see. Let's get started. Quote number one, Brendan.
All right. Number one, I fundamentally won't answer that question because you use the phrase fur babies.
Fur babies?
I fundamentally won't answer that question because you use the phrase fur babies.
BK okay. wasn't here for 2 days.
Nope. Now, here's the thing. When we're talking about pets. We're talking about dogs. We're talking about cats. We're talking about some kind of...
Are we?
Yeah, we are. No question about it. That's what fur babies are. If you're thinking about something else, then there's a side of you that I don't know.
That's not in my wheelhouse.
Well, okay, it's not in the wheelhouse. I think that this one is firmly on two people. Okay. This is on John Granato, and this is on Lance Zierlein.
I was thinking bench as well.
And there's no doubt in my mind that as much as this could be Granato, because he's uppity, because he's yuppie, because he's all the kids out of the house, Wendy dresses me and spends the highest regard on my fashions so we can travel the world and go out drinking, playing golf, playing poker. I don't have time for a dog, but I don't think he gets to the point of being bothered by those that do. I think Lance is a dog owner that some days doesn't want to be, some days does, but knows it's more about his kids than it is about himself. And I believe that Lance has a dog because of his kids, not himself. Therefore, he won't be that affectionate towards his dog. And I believe this is Lance Zierlein.
You know why I was leaning Lance, too, to like I guess, back you up, double down with you? What was the quote again, Brendan? It talked about there was a specific thing.
I fundamentally won't answer that question because you used the phrase fur babies.
I won't answer that question. Which of the two is usually the ones asking the questions?
John Granato.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm with you, Blankers. We're going Lance Zierlein. Killer Bees going Zierlein.
I fundamentally won't answer that question because use the phrase fur babies.
There you go. Look, Killer Bees. We're red hot. That's five in a row. Five in a row, by the way. All right, we got one out of one. Move on to quote number two.
Very short quote here. Perhaps I'm a genius.
That's it?
That's all you're going to give us?
Perhaps I'm a genius.
I mean, literally anybody.
Creighton for sure thinks he is every single day.
Does everybody here think they're a genius?
Yeah. Everybody's capable of saying that. That could literally beat anybody.
I mean, you work with two every day. You know it. Yeah. Even though you think that there's another host that is even more of a genius than us.
But let's be honest.
That's Paul Gallant.
Our genius is instilled to us by our puppeteer.
True.
So our genius isn't our own genius. It's the genius that Brendan gives to us.
Yeah, indirectly, because directly you are our puppeteer, you are a genius as well. So you have to think that way.
Yeah. I have no idea what this could be.
It's too simple. It's too general.
Yeah.
It's hard to make the specifics. I mean, does Patrick Creighton think he is? Absolutely. Does John and Lance? No doubt. Does Paul? Do we even ask the question? I mean.
Yeah, that was not a great quote here, Brendan. What was the quote again?
Perhaps I'm a genius.
Oh, but they're questioning
it. Perhaps I'm a genius.
Perhaps. They're not overconfidently stating, I am a genius.
Do you have any feel on this at all?
I think it's either Jake or Patrick Creighton. And the reason why I would say Jake is because, again, as quarterback of the show, where he gets picked on for a lot of his shortcomings.
I'm a genius.
I think that, perhaps I'm a genius and you guys misread me.
Can I throw one other option by
you? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Newly solo hosted Paul Gallant, where he's kind of talking to himself. Like, perhaps I'm a genius. I don't know.
It's a good call.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that we're
one of those
kind of
three.
Trimming it down.
I was thinking either Jake or Paul. So
I think it's funny you guys hated on this quote, and I think all of the reasoning you've worked through makes complete sense.
Are we?
No one asked you right now. We're trying to get to the logical
answer. Any of the three people
answer.
That we mentioned the answer?
Oh, well, I guess you'll find out.
Yeah, see, that's why I said I don't like you meddling to try and distract us. Okay, so which way are we going? Because I think as much as I could see Pat saying it, I think it really, to me, it comes down to either Paul or to Jake.
First instinct, you were going Jake or Brendan, and I was going either Jake or Paul. So
let's just go Jake.
Maybe common denominator, go with Jake?
Sure.
All right. Jake Asman.
Perhaps I'm a genius.
Oh!
Dang!
Oh, wow. This one's so impossible.
Bang!
Wow! It's so
Look, it wasn't a slam dunk because you generalized it to make it where we couldn't even, like, rationalize and eliminate.
You guys got it!
Yeah, that's because we're
right,
on our
roll. We're really smart.
There
we're
are so
geniuses.
Many options, and you figured it out. It must not have been that hard.
The momentum here has just been, it's on another level.
This game is difficult, but when you're really smart, sometimes you can figure some things out.
Yeah, level up. I mean, I've always told you about Who Said It. It's all about momentum.
All right. Number three. In regards to pickleball, one host said, the whole less movement than tennis, I got a big thumbs up on that.
I can literally be anybody, too.
Again. That's
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are going to get this one, too.
Lance, who always breaks down the fact that, you know, he doesn't play real golf because that's too strenuous, but frisbee golf or disc golf, as he likes to call it, is better.
I don't... Yeah, see,
Paulie likes more strenuous activities, so I don't think that would bother him at all.
I don't think Granato would say that about pickleball because he's going to live on the golf course.
You're right.
So I don't think it's like a less movement
thing
for him.
I think PC factors in. Yeah. Congratulations to PC on a ton of weight loss. I think BK factors in because his level of
sarcasm too
and motivation to work out or anything like that. Plus, he'd wilt away if he worked out.
I think it's a wheelhouse thing.
Do you?
I think so.
You think it's a Stutzer?
No.
Why? Pickleball instead of tennis because you don't have to move around as much.
That quote. Read the quote again. Like, there's a level of like snarkiness here.
The whole less movement than tennis, I got a big thumbs up on that.
Oh, okay. He does have a big thumb.
Ooh. I think BK is a minimalist in terms of his athletic activity.
I'm kind of going one of those two. I'm going either Cody or BK.
Okay.
That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with Cody or BK.
I can go with that. I think that I'm good with that kind of, again, whittling it down.
Yeah.
Now, is it the bigger guy with less ground to cover, or is it the skinnier, svelte guy that has no desire to do anything athletic?
I also want to play the numbers here. Like, BK was here Wednesday, Thursday. He was out Monday, Tuesday.
Great call.
So, like, when is Brendan putting these together? Like, when is Brendan turning these around?
Like midnight last night.
Okay, I feel like that's a bluff. I feel like that's a bluff there trying to get us to go away from Cody.
It is the truth, but go where you want to go.
Yeah, but I feel like you're quick to say that to try to spin us to a different thought. I think it's Cody now.
Okay,
Cody. All right,
I'll
Cody
go with
Stutz.
That.
But the whole less
movement we weren't even in the wheelhouse.
Tennis. I got a big
we got it right.
We got it right. What are you talking about? We already just got the quota.
I knew he was bluffing.
Boom.
We just hammered the three right
three
out
in a row.
There.
Now we just got to keep rolling.
And you
bring
complain.
The next one.
You complain about how hard two of them
I thought that was Lance at first.
I kind of did, too.
I thought that was
first,
Lance at
first. First couple
Cody Stutz, Lance Zierlein, two peas in a pod.
Yep.
All right. Well, you got the three, but let's see if you can tie last week.
Yep. And if we do, look the hell out, because then we're talking about rare air.
Number four, weed, man. That's all I care about. I'm a millennial.
Ooh, that sounds like a Paul quote. Like, I know that BK's probably the one that leads the Killer Bees in, like, tokes, if you want to call it that. Patrick Creighton.
Jake's too squeaky clean.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like the phrasing here, the delivery is kind of a Paul-y
take the bench
way.
Out of it, I think.
I
think Lance is more of a gummies guy at this point in his career.
Say one more time for us.
Weed, man. That's all I care about. I'm a millennial.
Although they could be mocking somebody in a story.
Yeah, they could. I think this is Paul. That, to me, sounds like a Paul delivery. Weed, man. Weed, I'm a millennial. Like
the man
like
part
that.
Of it alone.
Yeah.
Sounds like Paul.
I'm leaning Paul on this. You go with Paul?
I'm fine.
All right, let's go Paul.
Weed, man. That's all I care about. I'm a millennial.
Wow. Look the hell out, Michael, because rare air, we could sweep the contest.
I knew the delivery,
run
man.
The table.
All right, let's do this. This all is right. big now. This is, all of a sudden, the stakes just went way
Yeah,
up.
You guys have never done this.
Way
I
up.
Have once, I think.
I might not have been here if that was the case.
Okay, I think you helped. Well, you're our puppeteer. You created the game.
Let's go. Let's get this.
Number five, we had to take the L on Bundy. Ted Bundy, right? Straight people? We had to take the L on Bundy, right? Ted Bundy, or I'm sorry, we had to take the L on Bundy. Ted Bundy, right? Straight people.
We had to take the L.
It sounds like...
This one's hard.
Ted Bundy is a... Now,
does that mean you're going to get it easily?
Now, Ted Bundy, when you think about when... How long ago was that? Quite a while, right?
Yeah.
So I would say probably take the wheelhouse out of it.
I kind of feel... I feel the same way. I was leaning the morning show.
And I would take Paul out of it, too. Yep. Now, don't forget the sleeper, which is Patrick Creighton.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's one of three guys, in my opinion. It's either Pat, John, or Lance. What's the context of how it could have come up in the conversation?
Who knows? News of the Weird
is an automatic that they're going to talk about some stuff that a lot of other people probably wouldn't get into a topic that would cause those kind of conversations.
We haven't used a Granado, but Brendan's doesn't always use everybody, and he also is willing to go more than
Pat
one.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah. He's always willing to go more than one at times, too.
Yeah.
More than
well, one if it's host. Paul, he'll go four.
BK's not been used, but BK missed half of the week. And you don't like that the timeline there, the generation there.
Who's not afraid to...
You think Granado would say take the L there? Because that's the one hang-up I have for Granado, saying take the L.
I don't. I think Lance factors
think
in, and I think Pat factors in.
So you're between those two?
Me personally, that's how I'm just trying to whittle it down.
Which one do you want to go with? Was Pat on much this week?
Ooh, that one
was
I can't
Was it the
answer.
Normal? Brendan, as acting PD, was
he was
PC
off
on?
Monday for Cowboys and then misses an hour on Wednesdays because of the Jimbo Fisher show. I think he's otherwise been on all week.
Is that a bluff by Brendan? Leading us to a certain answer? I have no idea. I don't have a good feeling on either one.
Would he go Lance twice?
Yeah. He's been willing to do that.
Man, we got to get this. I want to run the table.
It could be G. It could be Jimmy G.
Jimmy G or Johnny G?
Johnny G.
Okay, I mean, which one's quarterback in the Niners this week? Jimmy G has entered the conversation. Is he part of a wild card, Brendan, that we weren't aware of?
Johnny G. I don't know. I want you to answer this. I want
why?
You to answer this.
I'm not.
Because I don't have a good feel. I don't either, to be honest with you, I
want to get it right.
I stood on the table for Paul because I felt strongly
one
about
more time,
that.
Please.
I don't feel strongly about this one.
We had to take the L on Bundy. Ted Bundy, right? Straight people?
I think it's a morning show.
I think it's very Lance then.
Okay, let's do it.
Go Lance one more time.
We had to take the L on Bundy.
Oh.
And well, we had it, straight people.
Oh, Killer Bees almost were perfect. That's okay, though. That's okay, because we still want to achieve that at some point going forward. Killer Bees, so close. But we beat Brendan. That's all that matters.
And I can enjoy my weekend.
That's right. Message this week from Kirby from the Texans was, we're close. What in the world does that even mean? I'll tell you something that's near and dear to my heart, though, and I can tell you what it means. Gentle Ben. Gentle Ben is fantastic. The vodka, the gin, the bourbon, it doesn't matter. They're all great, and they're all part of the rotation. Gentle Ben uses their line, uses their state-of-the-art innovative Prosecco craft technology that's better in purity, it's better in aroma, and it's better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of the Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste a huge difference, a massive difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M class of 85, by the way, he had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I mean, it's been over a year now, I think, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is so smooth, it is so clean, it eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs. Also online at gentlebin.com. If you're in the League City area, head to Hills Liquor on South Shore. Deb's Liquor in Beaumont has the vodka and gin. And Broadway Liquor in Pearland, stop by on your way home. Also, head to the tasting room now and try that bourbon. Fantastic. 94-proof bourbon, winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year. Exclusive to the tasting room in Alvin. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben.
Independent thinking,
unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees just matched their personal best of four correct answers and who said it. And Andrew Carlson
said he would have bet his life that the last one was Granado. Yeah. And then I said, why would you say that? And he wouldn't answer, but he put two hands around his neck.
Yeah, he was giving us the Reggie Miller, like we were Spike choke Lee sign. Choke sign. That did the Killer Bees choke? 713-780
I love ESPN. Ocho's text. I'm not going to lie. The end of that game had me locked in like the chase for 61.
Yeah, tied for seventh all time.
Did we get break-ins on ESPN?
That was fantastic, yes. I
mean, the radio side of it, we were. Live break-ins on ESPN. Uncle Barney actually texted. He hadn't texted in a little while.
Yeah.
He said, you guys must have made a 1600 on the SAT. He was very impressed with the Killer Bees performance and who said it.
All right.
Said, great logic on Lance.
I think we really did a lot of good thinking in the process. We whittled them down really well.
Yeah, we did.
We were in the ballpark for the last one.
I think the time is why we didn't get it right.
You guys thought that they were hard questions, but really I'm just trying to challenge you. I'm like a teacher or a coach.
I didn't like the short generalized one that could have been anybody.
But you talked through it and you got there.
Yeah, that was kind of a tricky one. But we got there, you're right.
I think we should get double credit for getting that one. To be honest.
I think so too.
I think that's the half a point.
Yeah.
I think we got 4.5, actually.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Message this week from Lovey Smith, pretty much from everybody. Davis Mills has been saying this all year, that we're close. Quote, we're close. We're close. And look, I guess they have been close, right? You had a tie. You're close to winning that one. You had a lead in the fourth quarter against Denver. You were close to winning that one. You were tied late on the road at Chicago. You were close winning that one. But what do you think that means? Like, we're close. Is he talking about one singular win?
No, I think that because he knows, and again, as much as they hate to admit it and they don't want to talk about hearing what anybody else says or the critics and the pundits and the media and everything else, I think that, one, he's trying to keep his locker room together, and two, he's trying to build some positives around a team that doesn't have a win yet. And the best way to do that is say, look, we're not getting our doors completely blown off. I mean, we had every chance to win the first one. As you said, we had a lead late in the second one. And then even in the third one, you know, you're in the game late in the fourth quarter, tied until the tipped ball interception costs you the game. So I think that from a head coach's perspective, he's saying the coach speak you have to say. We had a chance in every game. We've been close.
I don't think it's coach speak. I think he genuinely thinks that they're close, to something, whether it's close to getting a victory, whether it's close to clicking on all cylinders. No, I firmly believe he thinks that.
Close to stopping the run?
They've been close to winning.
Okay.
They've been close to winning.
No, I'm saying, I get that, but I think as the head coach, he's saying what you have to say. You have to say.
But he's not the only one saying it. You're hearing this from Brandon Cooks, who's like, we're close. We're a step away. You're hearing it from Davis Mills. We're close. We feel like we're getting there. Like, it isn't only Lovey saying that.
That's fine. I think that, but as a team, too, this early in the season, and again, looking at just not just the end result, but if watching every single play and being a part of it, in their case, of every single play along the way, they know that they had their opportunities to win those games, so they should say they've been close.
I believe he's saying that they're close to, like, I don't want to say going on a run, but they're close to getting over, like, this hump that they think is keeping them from winning. Because they've been close. I mean, they really have. I mean, Davis Mills is probably a pass or two away from winning in every single one of these games. They've been on the brink. I don't think he means one singular game, though. Like, we're close to getting the one. Because who cares if you get the one?
If you take a synopsis of the first three games, the easiest thing you can say in terms of positives for the Texans is they've been close in all three games.
Yeah, OG saying Texans are close, ... to the number one pick in the draft. 713-780-ESPN. What are the Texans close to? 713-780-3776. Now, I feel confident thinking that Lovey and the rest of the team, and the message to the team is, look, we're close to getting over this proverbial hump that they believe is there. And they feel like once they get over the hump that they're going to start playing some good football. I don't think they're going to tell you it's going to translate to like 8-9 straight wins for the season. But I would push back and say, like, that hump that they think that they're close of getting over, yeah, you might win one or two games against the Colts, who are very, very bad in week one. Denver, who's looked bad all year. Chicago, who's looked bad this year, even though they're 2-1. Yeah. I would argue that even though they're close to getting over that proverbial hump that they believe is going to lead to some better results and better football, I would argue that hump is way further out than they actually think. They might get over that hump.
Again.
But the hump that they really need to get over is still far-fetched.
For sure. If he's speaking in general terms, then what I believe he means is we're close to getting in the win column. We're close to getting where we haven't been so far this season, but we know that we've been knocking on the door. We're going to break through at some point and get a win. We know that we aren't as bad as our record shows, and we feel like it's coming. You don't know when. You don't know against who. I don't think if he's a smart coach, he's not saying we're close to making a run to push for a playoff spot. But also as a head coach, you can't say that you're not, because you're there to motivate this team and keep their thought process and the plan in the right direction.
Even if it's only like the one game, though, that they're close to, I would argue and say, like, okay, great. Like, go get one. Okay. What does that mean? What does that do? What does that mean?
You
got to
say it as a head coach. You just have to. I mean, especially three games in, you have to accentuate all the positives. You have to, and for the media, the fan base, for your locker room.
I get that. But Davis Mills thinks that he's close to a 300-yard game. Like, Brandon Cooks thinks that they're close to clicking on all cylinders offensively to where defenses are going to fear them. Like, they're also saying that.
Personally, I'm with OG. I mean, and I don't say that very often, but I believe they're closer to the number one pick in the entire draft, if not for the Chicago Bears, and yet the Bears beat you.
Yeah,
so
they have two wins.
There's an advantage for them against you. I feel like they're not the worst team in the league, but I feel like they're not far
Texans?
Off. Yeah. I feel like they're not far off from it. I really believe that the Bears are the worst. It's the biggest smokescreen I've ever seen in my life. The Bears, like you said, have two wins, and I believe that they're probably the worst team in the NFL. And who's worse?
Texas.
But you know what? We'll see. The Bears have more wins, but at the same time, the way they played in that game, the Texans looked like the better football team, I think. I thought that they looked.
Equally as bad.
Fields was awful.
But they ran for 250 yards.
They did, but again, they went away from it. When I look at the way we criticize Pep Hamilton's play calling and everything else, and if I would say the same thing, if I looked at the same analogy with a different team and said Chicago Bears three games in, well, we're 2-1, okay. But if I looked at how you got to 2-1, I'd have a whole lot to talk about in terms of play calling. 11 passes in a game against the Packers when you should have run the ball down the Texans' throat, and you should have run the ball every chance you got. And you're not putting Justin Fields in great position, and he's not making great decisions. I look at that and say, I don't think they're a very good football team. They just had the right break go their way late against the Texans.
I mean, you could also say in that game that the Bears had breaks go against them.
You could say Mother Nature won in the first game.
Sure. I'm willing to throw that one out. Yeah. I'm willing to throw the San Francisco game out, although Mother Nature affected them too.
True.
I mean, that was – but the Bears, I think, are better to sustain that. Well –
Also, the first week of the season, not everybody is in prime rare form ready to go for a full season.
I don't think it's fair to take away the two wins for Chicago. Do I think that they have a great roster? No, I don't. But I do think that they're pretty well coached. I think that Eberflus does a pretty good job. The way that they've generated this run-first offense and have been successful running, even though they're one-dimensional, they do it in space, they split out their receivers wide, they try to get empty boxes. I think Chicago's scheming up some pretty good stuff from a running attack point of view. In terms of personnel, I don't think it's great, but I think they're pretty well coached.
I think that the fact that we're having this discussion tells you that I think both teams are two of the worst teams in the league, and I think that, if you go head-to-head, the Bears won. So are they the better team? I guess you're supposed to say yes, and because they have more wins at this point in the season.
That's the thing. Like for the race for the number one pick, they got two wins ahead of you.
Right,
like,
which
they're
is
two
actually
wins
a
in
good
hand.
Thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, again, if I'm going to say embrace the suck, then I believe that, as much as you're looking for positives right now, I don't see a whole lot of positives with the way the schedule lays out, but I don't want them to. And I want them to be competitive and do exactly what they've done through three games, be in the games, have a chance to win, keep the morale of the team up, and see the positives in the rookies and the guys that you're going to expect to be here for multiple years. But then at the end of the day, have the results dictate the positivity for your future by getting the best picks available.
Lovie Smith says the Texans are close. Davis Mills says they're close. Brandon Cooks says they're close. Pep Hamilton has said they're close. What are they close to? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Last week, Thursday at 2:30, we were looking at the Houston Texans' run defense as something they would struggle with ahead of the Bears game. What happened? They got 280 yards on the ground. What could that be this week? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, you're probably listening to us right now. Maybe you just got off work. Maybe you're at work. You're driving around looking for some Friday night plans. Who doesn't want to do some things on Friday night? Well, I have just the plan for you. Why don't you head over to TDECU Stadium, watch the Houston Cougars, Tulane Green Wave, good football game, the final American Conference opener for the Houston Cougars. And it's a blackout game, too, and the weather is going to be fantastic. They want you in the stadium. They mean it, too. Tickets just $10 for some Friday night lights. UHCougars.com/tickets. 713-GO-COUGS to lock that in right now. Get on campus early. Enjoy all the tailgating. Tailgating's already open. I can't wait to get off work because I'm going to head over to campus and maybe enjoy a little tailgating before the game. We'll see. It opened about 30 minutes ago, so head on over to campus. Enjoy all the tailgating. Always a great time ahead of some college football. Cougar Walk begins in about an hour and 15 minutes, 3:45. You don't want to miss that. Don't miss the pomp and circumstance of college football, a special halftime performance. We're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month with my favorite, the U of H Mariachi Pumas, and the Spirit of Houston joined together to perform at the half. Entertainment by the cheerleaders, Cougar Doll, Shasta and Sasha, and DJ Yobi Yobes mixing it up in the student section. Kickoff at 6 o'clock, about 3.5 hours away from kick. Weather is going to be fantastic. Good game between Houston and Tulane, and tickets only $10. UHCougars.com/tickets. 713-GO-COUGS. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear black.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Last week at this time, 1 week ago to the minute, we were talking about the Houston Texans running defense against the Chicago Bears, how much of a concern it was, how we were looking at that game, and it could be ugly for the Houston Texans on Sunday. They got a good running back in David Montgomery. We liked the backup in Khalil Herbert. Turned out Montgomery got hurt early in the game, and it was Khalil Herbert doing all of the damage, which, look, he's a good running back. What could it be this week? What screams to you that it's going to be a problem over at NRG as the Houston Texans undefeated at home host the Los Angeles Chargers, who they beat at home last year?
Well, I just think that you're going up against a different animal than what you've seen so far this season, because I don't think you saw the Colts team that has been coming together each week. And as I said, when you rest all your starters, week one is not an accurate barometer of what kind of team you have. But after, you know, almost to the quarter point, when you've seen three games under the belt, certain teams like the Broncos are underachievers and might not be anywhere near as good as what people thought. And other teams may be better than they were advertised to be. I think you're going to see the best team yet to date that the Texans are going to face. And that means you have a really good quarterback. Uh-huh. You may be a little dinged up, but you have a really good quarterback. You have good offensive weapons. And you have, no matter what injuries they have, you have a really, really competent, solid NFL defense. So I think you're going to have to play your best game no matter what kind of games and how you've been close in the first three. And I think that you also have the intangibles of a team that got their doors blown off here and shouldn't have a year ago. And you've got a team that got their doors blown off and shouldn't have, in a lot of people's minds, a week ago. And there's a lot to prove for this team that has a really good roster. So I think that the deck, to me, is stacked against them. And that's why you have to be concerned about a lot of things that you haven't been as concerned about with any of the three teams you face. You've got to shut down a really good quarterback. You've got an offense that can beat you with the run. They can beat you with the pass. And Allen not playing is a help for you. But then again, you know, Eckler's been underachieving too. So there's another guy that wants to prove he's a good running back in this league, and they know what the Bears were able to do them. They should be able to do the same thing.
Is there one specific area? Because
I don't think there really is one, but I would say that unless there's a pass rush that really can hit and really ruffle the feathers of Herbert, I think that he will pick them apart.
This is their best quarterback that they're facing.
Yes.
Matt Ryan is not in the same league anymore as
Russell
Justin
Wilson
Herbert is.
Looks like he just stole money.
We were saying that last year.
Yep.
I mean, we were saying that whenever it was unpopular to say that. And it does look like he stole money. And it also looks like Seattle stole some pretty good draft capital away from Denver. Week three, Justin Fields is nowhere. Justin Fields is probably the worst quarterback you've played. And you probably haven't played one that's in the top 12 of the NFL. Justin Herbert's no doubt the best quarterback that they've played, and I still think that there's no doubt he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Look, we've talked about the Houston Texans defense throughout the season, and we've at times have seen that they've looked pretty good. In the Denver game, I said this defense looks ahead of schedule. They look really good. Second half of this year, I thought the Texans were capable of playing top 15 defense in the National Football League. They took a step back in that regard last week, and it exposed that they're not a very good team against the run. Jonathan Taylor exposed that some in week one, but we're like, it's Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor's going to get his. You didn't have to worry about that as much in Denver because they were, for some reason, throwing the ball around the park with Russell Wilson, even though that they were getting some yards from their running core of Williams and Gordon. So we saw the defense exposed a little bit last week. That said, the strength that we have seen so far through three games on that side of the ball is the secondary. Jalen Petrie, some people have Jalen Petrie as a top five safety, not a rookie safety, a top five safety in the NFL right now. NFL.com put together like a little safety rankings, and they have Jalen Petrie as a top five safety today, right now. He could be one of the favorites to win Defensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL.
I love Stevie Nelson, what he's done for this team.
And he's your number two behind the number three pick of the draft. And then Jonathan Owens leads the NFL in tackles. So there's something. Look, I understand you don't want your safety to lead the NFL in tackles, but I like a sure-handed dude in the secondary that can tackle. I don't want him leading the league in tackles, though. But that gives you a pretty good nucleus of what you have in the secondary. I haven't been all that disappointed, too, whenever you have to go nickel and you have to bring in a little nickel corner and you get the play of what you've been able to get from, name's blanking on me, Desmond King. Like, you've been pretty good in the secondary overall this year. This is going to be the biggest test the Houston Texans secondary has to date. Look, Courtland Sutton had a good game against Derek Stingley. You go back and watch that game. Stingley was pretty good. Like, I felt like he was all right in that game. I'll give Sutton the advantage over Stingley, of course. But then look what the rest of the defense was able to do against the rest of the receivers because you trusted Stingley one-on-one to hold his own against Sutton. That is a
huge
factor.
That has to factor in, right?
Absolutely a huge factor.
Because he started out on Judy.
Absolutely a huge factor. Now, this is the best quarterback. And look, Keenan Allen's probably not going to play. They still have capable guys. Palmer's fine. Mike Williams is a deep threat. I like what I've seen from Gerald Everett in the tight end position. Austin Eckler is one of the most dynamic running backs out of the backfield in the entire NFL, and he can cause a problem. And look, what's the weakness of the Houston Texans defense? They're linebackers. You're asking linebackers to try to defend one of the best running backs coming out of the backfield, catching the football in the league. This is the toughest assignment the secondary has had, and if we're right about the secondary kind of being ahead of schedule, that the makings of the secondary are the makings of what you're going to have for the next 3, 5, 7 seasons, if they play well against the Chargers, I think you can go ahead and start to crown them. But this is going to be their biggest challenge. I don't know if they're up to the task yet against Justin Herbert and a Charger offense. It's been pretty good. The running game had been good, but the passing game's been fine.
I think the running game's going to try and prove a point, but I think the focus to me that's going to be the big difference maker is going to be the ability to try and stop a dynamic passing attack, no matter how dinged up Herbert. If Herbert was that bad, he wouldn't be playing.
Yeah.
We're in total agreement that he's the best quarterback they've faced so far. And I just firmly believe that's going to be an issue for them this week, as good as they've been. It's not a slap in their face. They're playing a playoff-caliber AFC team that has aspirations of going deep into the playoffs and has the roster that's capable of doing it. So if you have to make me choose one, I think it's the passing game.
I would say the passing game on the defensive side. 4-2-3-7, every team we played has sucked, other words. And we look pretty terrible in each one of those.
And now you're playing your best opponent to date, which we said.
Yeah. I mean, I would say talent-wise, yeah. The Chargers haven't played their talent.
I think the roster and the guys at the key positions, the best team you've faced so far.
I would agree with that, but the record does matter.
It does.
When it comes down to like how we're evaluating the Chargers overall, I wouldn't say it comes down to like any sort of measurement Texans versus Chargers Sunday.
It matters. No, it matters at the end of the year when you're trying to determine if they're going to move in advance. I think it matters. What matters most at this point in the season is their overall roster and their talent at the key skill positions. Defensively, and you take Bosa, who is one of the best at his position, out, but you have J.C. Jackson coming back, who they paid a boat ton of money from to play corner.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Derwin James, who they paid a boat ton of money to keep, that is one of the best young safeties in the game. And you've got a guy that is really head and shoulders above everybody right now for comeback player of the year, and Khalil Mack, who is wreaking havoc all over the field like he did when the Raiders had him. You put those guys on defense against the Texans and say they're going to pin their ears back and have some fun. And then offensively, when you look at one of the best young quarterbacks in the league in Herbert, a good receiving core even without Keenan Allen, and a very solid running attack, and they have Sony Michel, but he's not anything to speak of, but he's a veteran running back that's very, very competent in terms of being able to make smart plays behind a guy like Austin Ekeler who can catch the ball and run the ball. And me, that's the best roster you face to date.
Worried about a young secondary against Justin Herbert and then flipping sides of the ball. I'm worried about Davis Mills against the secondary. J.C. Jackson, you just mentioned Derwin James, and I know Davis Mills last year had arguably his best game as an NFL quarterback against the Chargers, 250, two touchdowns, no picks. If you're in a situation where you're all of a sudden down two possessions in the second quarter and it's looking like a game where Davis Mills is going to have to throw 30, 35, 40 times in the game as you're trying to play catch-up, that is scary against the secondary like that, and it's scary against a Khalil Mack knowing the other team's going to be throwing the football.
No question.
So those are the two things I'm most worried about for the Texans ahead of the Chargers. Their young secondary against a top 10 quarterback, and then if Davis Mills is forced into throwing the football a lot against a good secondary and against a Khalil Mack, they'd be ready to rip his neck off. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What are the biggest areas in the Texans game that you think the Chargers could feast at? What NFL team should be in panic mode heading into week four? We'll discuss, and we'll discuss it with some of the Wheelhousemen. One of the Wheelhousemen. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
One of the biggest issues that gets overlooked on a daily basis by people, especially down here, is their roof. And they don't think about it till it's too late, and a lot of property has been damaged, and a lot of damage has been done to the structure itself based on the fact that you have kind of not paid enough attention to your roofing issues. And that's why Fitz Roofing is there for you, because whether it's hurricane season or not, and whether bad weather is on the horizon or not, you need to pay attention to your roof and the needs that you have with it. Fitz Roofing will come to you for absolutely free and do a free, no-obligation inspection of your roof and tell you exactly what the state of your roof is. If you've got a leak or something that they determine could be a leak very soon, they'll tell you that. You can look at everything from putting a new roof on your commercial establishment, your business, or your house, to fixing a leaky roof, to just making sure you put new shingles and the proper work done on your roof before any bad weather hits. They'll take care of all of it with the free, no obligation inspection. You want them to do the work, they'll do the best work in the business. And they have the best warranties, they have the best ratings, and they use the best products, starting with CertainTeed shingles. Check out all the options on the ways that they can help you by going to FitzRoofing.com. That's F-I-T-Z Roofing.com, where you'll figure out that not just roofing is in their forte. They do home repairs. They could put a fence in your yard like they did for me a few months ago, and it looks fantastic. But they take care of you by making sure you're happy and you're okay with every step in the process. Check them out at FITZRoofing.com. Then call for that free, no obligation inspection. It's 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Brad Kellner is with us.
Kinda.
Always good to see Brad Kellner.
On time.
Although today, I'm not enjoying this look that you got going, this vibe, this fit.
Well, it's better than the right Waffle now. House. I assume this is a lost bet.
It is a lost bet.
Yeah, BK is wearing a very large Texas Tech shirt, red with
the
white letters,
like
trimmed in black.
It was lost for a period of time under like a muffler on a car.
Yeah, it's not great. Very sweaty.
It looks like underneath too. I think Skip Dykes used to wear that hat.
Yeah, it's the same color as Brendan's Rams jersey. It's like someone peed on it. Whose hat is that?
But not
yours?
By design.
Yeah, this is all mine. Clearly, this Texas Tech shirt that's a 4X is mine, and this hat that is also Texas Tech.
You used to eat daily four meals a day at the Waffle House?
Yes.
You fill that shirt out?
I would need, I think, more than four meals a day to get to this shirt.
So you borrowed the shirt from Stutz?
From Stutz?
Yeah, and what about the hat?
Same thing. This is
Putting that stuff, whatever's in that hat, on your head. And you don't know where it came from.
He said it was clean. I don't know if I believe him.
He said it was clean.
The evidence.
He's also
got
some swampland to sell you in an Arizona desert.
No one's bent their hat like that since the early 90s.
Yeah, I don't know why he has it this way. This was not me. I received this hat this bent.
It looks like an anteater. Like the way that it's shaped. It's so long and narrow.
I couldn't tell you the last time Cody's worn this hat. I've known Cody for a little bit more than a year. I've never seen him wear this hat, so there's a chance it's been multiple years since this thing has been touched.
How
by
dirty
anybody.
Do you feel right now?
I mean,
awful. Man. I feel like I'm in Lubbock right now, and I always feel dirty when I'm out there.
I believe you have a venereal disease on your scalp in your future.
Well,
you could have some kind of a complete biological problem with your scalp based on what the inside of that hat looks like.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first place where I've gotten one, I guess. So we're spreading the love. I guess those are pretty
I would have
contagious.
Considered a head condom before the hat.
Yeah.
Where else did you
as
get
a
one?
Layer.
Lubbock.
The tortillas there can be contaminated.
Could have been online. Fanatics would have got it there for you.
It would have.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing, Fanatics?
Oh, big time.
Really?
Ooh, I got a good tidbit for you on that one.
Oh,
real quick. On Fanatics.
Right. Yeah,
on Fanatics. Twice it's happened. They, if they screw up the order, whether they don't get it to you when it was supposed to be there, and or when you get it, there's a problem with it. They're not, hey, we'll send you the label, send it back. They're, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just send you another one.
Yo.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep both.
Mm-hmm. Indeed you do. Uh-huh. And if you sell it for even a fraction, save money.
Sounds illegal.
Could you
sounds
lie?
Spot on.
About something being wrong with the product?
Oh, no, because I was above board. So, as the story goes, a while back, I ordered a jacket. And the jacket had not arrived a week past the date it was supposed to arrive. I called and said it, and they said, don't worry about it. We'll send you another one. I said, well, what happens if the original one comes? And they said, don't worry about that either, but the chances are slim and none. The original one did get delivered about a week and a half later.
Mm.
I actually called them again and said, hey, that jacket showed up, and they're like, oh, we already sent you another one and closed the account on it. Don't worry about it.
Beautiful.
Bingo.
Okay.
Pro tip of the weekend for you people.
You people.
You people. All you sports fans that have the ability and want and desire to wear sporting clothing.
Okay. Sounds good.
I like that.
BK is today. When's Quinn Ewers coming back?
Maybe tomorrow.
I hope so.
I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. I think they're going to try to roll with Hudson Card and hope he can be good enough to beat West Virginia. Now, that strategy did not work in Lubbock. That's why I'm wearing Texas Tech garb today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as of now, no official decision. Both guys have been practicing, splitting reps with the one. So it feels like a game time decision. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be against OU in Dallas next weekend.
There's a lot of great games tomorrow.
Yes.
Really?
Kentucky goes into Ole Miss. Kentucky 7-point dogs. I want to see what Levis looks like in that game. You have Arkansas, Alabama following that at 2:30. OK State, Baylor, and Waco.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that A&M's a dog in Starkville against Mississippi State. 4-point dog.
Are they really?
It's not just the home field then. It's 4, not 3?
4 points.
Yeah, look, Mike Leach has had A&M's number throughout his entire career. He's 8-4 against them.
Did Jake lose a bet?
They won last year. Yeah, Jake lost a bet as well. Jake lost his bet last football season.
He looks like Notre Dame's mascot, and he just did that stupid head shake in Brendan's camera.
What's he doing?
Look at him. He's dressed like a freaking leprechaun.
Yeah, well, he always looks like a leprechaun,
right,
but today
but
he is.
But now he's got the full garb and regalia to be Notre Dame's fill-in mascot.
Yep. That's
he's dressed like the Fighting Irish?
He is. Why did he? What caused that?
This was a monthly Wheelhouse of Fortune punishment from like last January.
He got tights on?
I don't know.
So he had to dress like the mascot?
He just has to dress like a leprechaun because he's a redhead. We thought it'd be kind of funny.
Oh.
Yeah, and he does happen to look like the Notre Dame mascot guy.
So much for the Hawaiian Shirt Fridays, I guess.
Well, he's gonna if he's got white tights on.
The white tights
truly won the bet.
Yeah, make sure you're watching it. twitch.tv/ESPN975. Do you think the Texans have a chance?
Sure.
To beat the Chargers on Sunday?
I do. The Chargers are incredibly banged up. I heard y'all talking about this earlier. I mean, I'm with you guys. I'd pick the Chargers to win this game. Joel, you said it. The 5-point line is a little bit weird, kind of that in-between line. I don't think I'm going to touch this game from a betting perspective. But, yeah, absolutely. The Texans have a chance against this version of the Chargers that are coming to town.
The thing that I worry about, two things, one from each side of the ball. I like this young secondary. I mean, Petrie looks like he could be one of the top 10 safeties by the end of the year in the entire league. He's having one of the best rookie campaigns on that side of the ball. Derek Stingley Jr. has shown promise. Hadn't really been tested a whole lot outside of the Denver game in a matchup that he lost to Courtland Sutton. But even what you have around him, Jonathan Owens leads the NFL in tackles. Not something that you want to see. And then, you know, Stevie Nelson's been pretty good as a free agent pickup. This will be their biggest test, though. Justin Herbert is by far the best quarterback they've played to this point.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. The Keenan Allen injury is an interesting one, right? He was limited in practice, apparently left practice early yesterday with the trainer, so I don't know what to expect from him. He didn't play last week. He makes a huge difference.
He does.
Mike Williams is a very good wide receiver. I don't think he's a very good number one in this league. I think he's one of the better twos,
sure.
But I think like with Keenan Allen opposite him, that's what makes him special. So if Keenan Allen can't go, look, Justin Herbert's still the best QB the Texans have faced, but that's going to severely limit the Chargers'
Mike
passing
Williams
game.
Got paid this offseason.
He did.
So he's got it. Now you got to step up and you got to earn that money and you got to stay healthy. And you, when you're on the field and this is an opportunity to present itself with Allen out, you got to step up, not just the deep ball. You got to make the plays in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler's going to catch 10 passes for like 120 yards.
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah, he had 8 catches last week. And Jeremy, I heard you talking about weakness on weakness kind of for this game. Like, if the Texans can kind of contain Austin Eckler, they haven't been able to run the football at all this season.
Yeah.
But because the Texans have been so bad, I feel like the Chargers could easily break out here. But if they can make this version of Justin Herbert beat them, it's not the same as Justin Fields, right? Even this version of Herbert is better than what we saw last weekend, but if they can stymie the run game a little bit, that's obviously giving them their best chance.
See, it's not even the you know, I mean, coming off 280 yards, like, okay, Eckler's probably ready to feast. It's more in the passing game because you get Eckler out, you know, running some little delayed routes, whether it's in pass pro or just getting out in the flats. You're going to have Kamu Grugier-Hill chase him around, Christian
right.
Kirksey
you
chase him around.
On the edges, and we know that Jerry Hughes has been really good about getting around that edge, but if he overcommits on one side and Grenard and others are committing on the other side, and then you just dump it down, good luck.
Yeah,
they'll take their chances, I'm sure, I mean, because they're probably still going to get 5, 6, 7, and they might get 15, 20.
Yeah, and the Texans linebackers have not been good either tackling or in coverage. So this
Christian
does feel
Harris
like,
is needed.
Yeah, this does feel like a big Austin Eckler game coming up.
They were asking Lovey this week about Christian Harris, and he's like, well, I'll just tell you this. There's some people that are currently on IR that we feel can help us, but he didn't want to tip his hand on Christian Harris.
Yeah, he was talking about Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, I mean, who else is left?
There's been a lot of tight ends that have caught touchdown passes for the Houston Texans this year.
Mm-hmm.
Neither
OJ
one
Howard
is,
caught two, yeah. and he couldn't catch a cold after that.
Neither one was on the roster 2 weeks before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one. Jordan Akins and OJ Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, I'm scared this game could turn into a Davis Mills has to throw it 30 times. That is something that, I mean, I'd actually like to watch it. I want to see what Davis Mills looks like having to come from behind throwing it 30, 35 times.
Can we see Brandon Cooks this weekend, please? Like, that was the best part about Davis Mills' rookie season. Yeah, like, their chemistry was money. And I saw a stat earlier today, the catch percentage for Brandon Cooks, which is the percentage of catches he has versus the targets he has, it's less than 50%. Like, last year it was close to 70. This year it's like 47. So the chemistry between those two has been off. We know the Texans don't have any receiving threats outside of Brandon Cooks. If you can't get 13 the ball, well, Davis Mills is going to continue to look like he's looked through 3 games.
Well, but I think that even if you could get him the ball, Davis Mills has to look better than he's looked
because
he
sure.
can't even make the easy passes.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. Where do you put the blame? Where do you assign it when it comes to that number? Because there's so many variables that come into play when you come up with that equation.
Yeah, I mean, look, more of it falls on Davis Mills. There's no doubt. The throw over the middle last week that Brandon Cooks dropped because he was worried about Eddie Jackson coming over the middle. Like, I want my number one paid wide receiver to go up there and make the catch and not really care about putting his body on the line to make something happen. So, there's been a play or two. I mean, Cooks had that drop touchdown in Denver. Like, that's clearly on him. So, no, Brandon Cooks has not been good enough himself. More of the blame goes on Davis Mills for sure, and then I'd put Pep second ahead of Brandon Cooks. But Brandon Cooks has not been nearly good enough. He hasn't been the guy we saw last year.
That's about how I'd put it. I'd put it Mills, I mean, Pep, and Cooks third.
And you can't get that goal line pass out of your mind that he was no defender within 5-10 feet of him.
Yeah.
And when I don't care if it's both of them to blame. That's a play you got to make.
Yeah, like it wasn't a great ball, but I expect Chris Conley to make that
catch.
That's
right.
Like Brandon Cooks absolutely has to come down with that.
Chris Moore might have made the best catch last week. He made that little one-handed catch in the drag route. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Pep Hamilton been talking, too, about getting Brandon Cooks involved a little more. He was challenged a little bit, Pep Hamilton was, in his media session the other day about playing Brandon Cooks in the slot versus out wide. And Pep Hamilton got a little defensive about it. It'd be interesting to see what
Brandon
it looks
Cooks
like this
can
Sunday.
Can help a playoff team in the second half of the season. He's got
to
be ready.
I'm not opposed to it. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
A lot of guests coming up today. Joe Fortenbaugh will join us at 6:15 to give you some winners in the football weekend. Mark Ross from the NFL Network, some guy who covers the Chargers. I can't remember his name. And you'll get to watch Jake in a leprechaun costume
see,
for 4
I
hours.
I mean, every time you make a statement like that, the dejected look on Andrew's face is just priceless.
He's like, he doesn't know another guy that I worked hard to get on.
No, I did this one, so I don't feel bad. I reached out to him, and I still don't know who he is.
So you actually got the guy on the air, and you don't remember his name. Quality work, BK.
Classic BK. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. Have a great weekend. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.